we've been trying to tell better stories about women and clergy and the church, because we really need to tell better stories. Instead of just complaining about it, what if we flood the airwaves with something different? All right, friends, welcome back to the podcast. And today is a very Thanksgiving episode. Although, I don't think I'm really going to, I'm not really talking about Thanksgiving or giving thanks or gratitude. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I've got some new things coming up. I'm working on some more guests, and this may or may not be it for a while. Although I do have one guest already scheduled, and so that will probably be coming out like the first week of December. But I'm really using this time to finish working on my manuscript right now. I have a book coming out February 2024, which seems like it's really far away, but it's like not quite 4 months away. So because it'll probably be middle to the end of February, and you'll start seeing more info on this as we get closer to January, because I'm going to do some pre-order stuff, and you can get it in an ebook or a hard copy, whichever you want to do. So working on that. And like I said, I'm working on scheduling a couple of other guests for the podcast. So today I kind of want to talk about some things I've shared a little bit in different episodes and interviews with guests, and not quite a month and a half since I left the church I planted 13 years ago. Still love them, still praying for them. And if you follow me on social media, you know I've been posting some stuff about grief and all of that, because there's a huge, I got my first district license in July 2003. So it's been 20 years since I got my first district license, 19 years since I had my first ever assignment as a pastor. And so this was my first Thanksgiving and my first Advent not being a pastor. So there's a whole lot, like other than just leaving my church and the things that I talked about a few episodes ago in Can You Hear Me Now? So besides all of that, there's this, you know, identity that for almost 20 years, I have spent every Thanksgiving and Advent season in a church ministering to others. And so I won't be serving communion this year. I won't be preaching. And then all of the other things that come along with the Advent season, right? So it's really just a very different place to be and trying to figure out where your feet land. No, I have not found a church. I am not going anywhere right now. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I remember just years ago, before I was ordained, when I was still listening to 103.5 or 7 or whatever it was, and which is Christian radio. And I remember one of the talk shows, they were interviewing somebody who had talked about being a pastor and leaving their vocation, and that they didn't go to church for like, I don't know, a couple of years. And I remember thinking how strange that was, and partially because I had a fairly significant, if you've heard me tell my testimony, I had a fairly dramatic come to faith in Christ. And I went to church on a Sunday morning, to a Catholic church, gave my life to Christ, and that day came home and started reading the Bible. So if you've not heard my testimony, I'll put a link to it, and you can read it. I feel like I just don't want to go into the whole thing here. You can read my blog, or I think I have it somewhere on my YouTube channel. So I went to a Catholic church on a Sunday morning because that's what I knew. I prayed what now we would call the sinner's prayer, but basically I just surrendered my life to God and came home that Sunday, put on a pot of coffee, took a Bible off of my shelf that my brother-in-law and sister-in-law had given us that I like, we didn't read it. It was just a mantelpiece, right? Coffee table book, I guess, and started reading in the Gospel of John, and my eyes were opened, and I just had this radical conversion. And from that Sunday on, I have been in church every single day. So that would have been July 1992. Unless I was sick or my kids were sick, I was in church. Like if we went on vacation, whoever, a lot of times if we were seeing family or whatever, we would find a local church and we would go there. There occasionally we went on vacation and did not go to church, but I'm telling you, for the most part, unless I was sick or my kids were sick, I was there. And even if my kids were sick, a lot of times I would still go to Sunday night service. Never in my life have I ever thought I would be in this place where I have not, it's not that I don't have a desire to go, it's that I'm actually like the idea of walking into a church right now gives me extreme anxiety. And that even picking up my Bible and reading it right now gives me extreme anxiety. I think one of the hardest parts for me probably is the music. I can't sit there and listen to contemporary Christian. Even some of the hymns are hard because it's just so, oh, God is so awesome and nothing bad ever happens. And even if it is bad, just don't think about the bad stuff happening because there's going to be good coming out of this. And there's just zero lament, zero room for anguish or grief or anger or struggling or suffering, which is something that I always tried to create space for at in the church that I planted, right? That there was room for you to experience every emotion that God created, and that allowed us to feel, that there's room at the table for that. We read the Psalms and there's room for that. Jeremiah says, "You deceived me, and I was deceived by you, and I was deceived by others." So, like, even just walking into a Protestant church right now just makes me cringe. And I want to talk a little bit kind of about how that happened. I mean, there was the last, 3 years has been challenging anyway. So I say that like this was so many years ago. 2023 has felt like the longest year ever. I don't know why it has felt, I mean, almost as long. It feels like it's almost as long as 2020. I don't know if, do you remember 2020? Some of you have PTSD so bad from 2020 that you have blocked it from your memory, but 2020 was definitely one of the longest years. Like, I don't know why 1 week felt like 3 months, but it did. And 2023 has kind of been the same way. I said to somebody the other day, well, 9 months ago, and it had been like 3 months. So this summer I sat down with my mentor because I said I wanted to meet with him, and I knew that I was ready to leave Debonair and leave ministry altogether. And I said to him, I haven't read my Bible in a year. Like, that was the first thing I said. We sat down and I'm like, I haven't read my Bible in a year. Which turns out, no, it had only been like 6 months or 7 months, something like that. It had been like since March of this year. And yeah, so 6 months, yeah, because we met in August. Anyway, but it felt like it had been 3 years since I had read my Bible. Now, obviously, I was still reading it because I was still preaching. Like, you have to open it and read what you're going to preach on in order to write your sermon. But he knew what I meant to sit down and to read it with the idea of listening to God and reading it prayerfully and that idea. And in the evangelical church, especially for pastors, like sometimes I think that you, like if you tell people you're not reading your Bible, you might as well have gone out and had an affair or something, because it's like they like it's sin in their mind. Like, it's sin, right? And so you just don't talk about it. And so like even me just saying it to him, I'm like, oh, please don't judge me, And I know when it happened. And I've talked about it a little bit. If you go back to the episode 119, 120, whatever, and I told the story about being in a mediation meeting. And so we were in this mediation meeting for us to try to all figure out how we could get along with our abusers. And the mediator said something to me, and he was not being dismissive or anything like that. He asked me a question. And it really doesn't matter what the question was. But I remember it hit me in such a way that something in that moment died inside of me. Like something inside of me broke, like for good. It like there was this realization to me that this situation would never be resolved, that no one would ever take accountability, that in a even though he wasn't dismissing us, everything would eventually be dismissed as whatever we all of us were just making something out of nothing. And there was just a part of me inside that died. A door definitely slammed shut within me. Like my soul said, nobody is getting in, right? Like I just completely shut down spiritually, internally. And I don't even know how to explain it, other than a door slammed shut and was bolted from within. And because of that, from that moment on, just walking into church to preach, I had anxiety. I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm nervous to get up and preach because I've been doing this for a long time, and that is not like that. I don't get nervous to preach, right? This was something completely different. This was, and I hate to use the word triggered, but that's what it is. I know triggered is, it's just the word of the day, right? But this was something inside that I couldn't deal with without my entire body experiencing it. So every time I would open the Bible to preach or do whatever, there would be this anxiety that would rise up, and I would hear all of the ways, whatever scripture I was reading or whatever scripture I was even trying to preach out of, I would hear the ways that that particular passage has been twisted and manipulated and used to abuse people. Like I couldn't hear it any other way. All I could hear it was this way that had been twisted. And it was like I just had this overwhelming sense of all the people who have been be abused by this passage or this passage or this passage or this passage. And it just became harder and harder because before that I could sit down and I could read it and I could hear what God was trying to say and speak through me. I could look at it through the lens of the love of God, and I could preach it in a way that would be received with mercy and grace and welcomed. And now I couldn't hear that anymore. And so like there's no one reason why I had to leave, but just a lot of reasons. This last weekend, my denomination, my district, we our denomination, if you're not part of my denomination, you don't know this, we are divided into districts. So if you're whatever Methodist, that's the same thing as a conference, or if you're Catholic, it's same thing as a diocese. And so we had a district-wide time of prayer and worship. I don't know what I expected, not what I got. That's definitely not what I expected. What I was hoping for, even though I can't define it, that it wasn't that. There was like no lament whatsoever. And like and even like we did like we had people on the platform leading prayers, and like they confessed idolatry or whatever. And then there were some other sins that they confessed. But I was waiting for them to like, how about we confess our sin of sexism, racism, patriarchy. How about we confess our sin of greed, our lust for power, all the times that we looked the other way instead of using our power to do what was right and good? Like there were so many big things that I said as a body. Like I kept thinking about Daniel, or the other prophets who stood up and would confess the sins of the entire community, and nobody did that. Like they were generic and not individualistic. That's not the word I want. Like to me, they were systemic. I mean, they did not confess systemic sin. They did not confess that. And I think that's what bothered me more than anything. Nobody said the things out loud that needed to be said, that we have a problem. And I went home and I was thinking about that, like lamenting and the anger and all of these other things that I'm feeling. And I just started looking up scripture after scripture that I'm like, fine, you know what? If I'm going to read scripture, I'm going to start with what I'm feeling. And I'm feeling rage, and I'm feeling deceived, and I'm feeling betrayed, and I'm angry. And I started looking for all of the places in the scriptures where the psalmists or the prophets or the patriarchs or the matriarchs all were feeling these things and expressing them to God. And ironically, of course, then as I start like expressing these and sharing these scriptures, people want to then share back with me, but what about this verse? But what about this verse? I'm like, I'm not ready for those verses. That's called gaslighting. That's called dismissing what I'm feeling. And what I'm feeling is what a lot of other people are feeling. And so, as I'm going into Thanksgiving, and I'm not going to be preaching for the first time in 13 years, as I'm going into Thanksgiving, and I'm not going to be pastoring for the first time in 19 years, almost 20 years, as I'm going into Thanksgiving in Advent, I have no way to express gratitude. I don't want to thank God for all of the ways that He has been at work in my life for the last 20 or 30 years. What I'm feeling now has undone all of that. Like, that's what I was trying to get at a few episodes ago when I was talking about this idea of trust. Trust, once you break trust, you have to work really hard to get it back. And God has broken trust. And I feel like now it's His responsibility to renew that trust. And before you come at me with all the verses, think about all those verses and how they're used to abuse people and dismiss what people are feeling. So I'm going into Thanksgiving with a very different experience. It's not even like in 2018 when my father-in-law died. It's a very, very different kind of grief, and it's so hard to explain, especially if you haven't walked through it. I'm thinking back to that story I heard on the radio so many years ago, and I said, "Oh, now I understand. Yeah, now I get it." My friend said, "You need to start ending your podcast with first you know, and then you understand," which is one of the lines I often use in my sermons, and so. This is a very Thanksgiving episode because first you know, and then you understand. So, wishing you not a happy Thanksgiving, but maybe a Thanksgiving where you just learn to be present in whatever it is that you're experiencing and feeling today. And I'll see you in Advent.